Well, it's easy to see why they'd be feeling their luck was bad lately. They've been hard on anyone who was sickened by the mists. They're just most hard on we who are out the longest. I refuse to accept such idiocy in my army, Ellen said. Ham, did you see one of those men strike Damu?
They hit him?
Ham asked with surprise. Their general? Ellen nodded. The big man I was talking to. Brill is his name, I think. You know it will have to be done. Ham cursed, looking away. Damu looked uncomfortable.
Maybe we could just throw him in solitary or something.
No, Ellen said through his teeth. No, we hold to the law. If he'd struck his captain, maybe we could let him off. But deliberately striking one of my generals? The man will have to be executed. Discipline is falling apart as it is. Ham wouldn't look at him.
The other fight I had to break up was also between a group of regular soldiers and a group of Mistfallen.
Ellen ground his teeth in frustration. Damu, however, met his eyes. You know what needs to be done, he seemed to say. Being a king isn't always about doing what you want, Tyndall had often said. It's about doing what needs to be done.
Damu, Ellen said, I think the problems in Luthadel are even more serious than our difficulties with discipline. Penrod looked toward us for support. I want you to gather a group of men and take them back along the canal with the messenger Conrad. Lend aid to Penrod, and bring the city back under control.
Yes, my lord, Damu said. How many soldiers should I take?
Ellen met his eyes.
About 300 should suffice.
It was the number who were Mistfallen. Damu nodded, then withdrew into the night.
It's the right thing to do, El, Ham said softly.
No, it's not, Ellen said. Just like it's not right to have to execute a soldier because of a single lapse in judgment. But we need to keep this army together.
I guess, Ham said.
Ellen turned, glancing up through the mists. Toward Fadrick City.
Set's right, he finally said. We can't just continue to sit out here, not while the world is dying.
So what do we do about it? Ham asked.
Ellen wavered. What to do about it, indeed? Retreat and leave Vin, and probably the entire Empire, to its doom? Attack, causing the deaths of thousands, becoming the conqueror he feared? Was there no other way to take the city? Ellen turned and struck out into the night. He found his way to Nurdin's tent, Ham following curiously. The former obligator was awake, of course. Nurdin kept odd hours. He stood hurriedly as Ellen entered his tent, bowing in respect. There on the table, Ellen found what he wanted. The thing he had ordered Nurdin to work on. Maps. Troop movements. The locations of Kolos bands.
Yeoman refuses to be intimidated by my forces, Ellen thought. Well, let's see if I can turn the odds back against him.
Once freed, Ruin was able to affect the world more directly. The most obvious way he did this was by making the Ashmounts emit more ash, and the earth begin to break apart. As a matter of fact, I believe that much of Ruin's energy during those last days was dedicated to these tasks. He was also able to affect and control far more people than before. Where he had once influenced only a few select individuals, he could now direct entire Kolos armies.
48. As days passed in the cavern, Vin regretted knocking over the lantern. She tried to salvage it, searching with blind fingers. However, the oil had spilled. She was locked in darkness, with a thing that wanted to destroy the world. Sometimes she could sense it, pulsing near her, watching silently, like some fascinated patron at a carnival show. Other times it vanished. Obviously, walls meant nothing to it. The first time it disappeared, she felt a sense of relief. However, just moments after it vanished, she heard Reen's voice in her mind.
I haven't left you, it said. I'm always here.
The words chilled her, and she thought, just briefly, that it had read her mind. However, she decided that her thoughts would have been easy to guess. Looking back through her life, she realized that Ruin couldn't have spoken each and every time she heard Rin's voice in her head. A lot of the time she heard Rin, it was in response to things she'd been thinking, rather than things she'd been doing. Since Ruin couldn't read minds, those comments couldn't have come from it. Ruin had been speaking to her for so long, it was difficult to separate her own memories from its influence. Yet she had to trust in the Lord Ruler's promise that Ruin couldn't read her mind. The alternative was to abandon hope. And she wouldn't do that. Each time Ruin spoke to her, it gave her clues about its nature. Those clues might give her the means to defeat it.
Defeat it? Vin thought, leaning back against a rough stone wall of the cavern. It's a force of nature, not a man. How could I even think to defeat something like that?
Time was very difficult to gauge in the perpetual blackness, but she figured from her sleep patterns that it had been around 3 or 4 days since her imprisonment. Everyone called the Lord Ruler a god, she reminded herself. I killed him. Ruin had been imprisoned once. That meant it could be defeated, or at least bottled up. But what did it mean to imprison an abstraction, a force like Ruin? It had been able to speak to her while imprisoned, but its words had felt less forceful then, less directed. Ruin had acted more as an influence, giving the child Vin impressions that manifested through memories of Rin, almost like it had influenced her emotions. Did that mean it used allomancy? It did indeed pulse with allomantic power.
Zane heard voices, Vin realized. Right before he died, he seemed to be talking to something.
She felt a chill as she rested her head back against the wall. Zane had been mad. Perhaps there was no connection between the voices he heard and Ruin, yet it seemed like too much of a coincidence. Zane had tried to get her to go with him, to seek out the source of the pulsings that had eventually led her to free Ruin.
So, Vin thought, Ruin can influence me regardless of distance or containment. However, now that it has been freed, it can manifest directly. That brings up another question. Why hasn't it already destroyed us all? Why play games with armies?
The answer to that one, at least, seemed obvious. She sensed Ruin's boundless will to destroy. She felt as if she knew its mind. One drive, one impulse. Ruin. So if it hadn't accomplished its goal yet, that meant